You're listening to Stand Out, Get Noticed, episode 207. Hi there, rockstar, and welcome to Stand Out, Get Noticed. I'm Christina Canters, speaker, coach, and founder of The C Method, where I help high-performing professionals and business leaders to build powerful communication skills. Now, speaking of high-performing professionals, my next online group coaching program for professional women starts May 28th. So if you're looking to increase your confidence, your influence and impact in the workplace, then I encourage you to explore this program and see if it's a fit for you. It is a small group program and spots are already half filled. So get in quick because there's not many spots left. You can learn more about the program at thecmethod.com/group coaching. Now, this, my friend, is the second week of the podcast takeover. I am pre-recording this intro as I'm taking a three-week break from the podcast while I am getting married to the love of my life and honeymooning. But in the meantime, I'm very excited to be welcoming my amazing sister, Zay Canters, back on the show. And they are joined by their fabulous partner, Bowie Stover, who is the founder. Well, they are both co-founders of Fearless Movement Collective, and they're making huge waves in the LGBTIQ community. So they're ones to watch for sure. Now, if you enjoy this episode, please reach out and let them know how awesome a job they did. Okay, let's get into it. Please welcome Zay Canters and Bowie Stover.
Hello and welcome to Stand Out, Get Noticed. My name is Zay Canters. I'm a addiction and mindset coach. I'm going to introduce to you our guest speaker on the podcast today. And they are no stranger to the show. Their name is Bowie Stover. Bowie is events manager for the charity Proud to Play. They're co-founder of Fearless Movement Collective and founder of the Gender Diverse Peer Support Group in Melbourne. And today's show is all about how to use non-gendered language. All right, so let's begin, shall we? Bo, can you please tell me, what does that even mean to you? Like, to someone who doesn't know what we're talking about here, can you please explain a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So gendered language is language that would be interpreted as either fitting into, I guess, a male or female bracket. So for example, saying, hey guys, would be gendered language because you can have a mixed group of people there and not all of them are going to be male identifying, yet it's a very commonly used term and it's gendered. It's even though people may not think that, and I've had some pretty interesting debates with people who will try and tell me that it's gender neutral, but it's a gendered term. So language like that, hey ladies, boys and girls,
hey fellas,
yeah, anything like that, that's all actually gendered language, and it's designed to segregate or categorize people into a group based solely on their perceived gender, when we can't even accurately perceive a person's gender just from how they outwardly present.
Hmm. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. It's so important.
You're welcome.
So can you share with me, like, what exactly, like, how that fits in with the work that you do?
Yeah, sure. So the work that I do revolves around supporting the trans and gender diverse community. Trans being people who are transgender, having been assigned a certain sex at birth, and then later in life gaining an understanding of who they are and what their true identity is, and therefore transitioning to the opposite sex. So a person who is assigned female at birth can, as they grow up, learn who they are and transitioned to become a man and want to live as a man because that is who they are inside. Our assigned sex at birth, which is based on our sex organs, does not dictate our gender. So sex and gender are two different things. But what happens with everyone at birth is their sex is therefore assigned as their gender, which is not the case. So people who transition transition from their assigned sex at birth to the gender that they feel best aligns with who they are inside. And gender diverse people are people who may not fit within any particular gender binary. So you can have, like, say, male on one end of the spectrum and female on the other. People who are gender diverse will fit somewhere in between. They may fluctuate. They may be non-binary, which is someone who doesn't identify with either male or female binary, being that they are non-binary or outside of the binary. And it's very much an umbrella term that encompasses the whole spectrum of gender that sits outside of male and female.
That is such a mind trip, because my whole life growing up, I was always told, like, there's only male and female. And you're right, like, when babies are born, it's like, if they've got a penis, it's like, oh, it's a boy. Or if they've got a vagina, it's like, oh, it's a girl. And they don't ever, you know, take into consideration how how they feel on the inside.
Correct. Yeah. Sex is a very, like, a physiological state. It's what we are born, what reproductive organs we have. But gender, which is, I think, it's kind of a new awareness that's happening, it's not new awareness. I think it's becoming more openly discussed that gender itself is a construct. It's a human construct. And we aren't necessarily having to fit within any binding designated category.
And when I look at the world around me, I see so much gendering. Like, a lot of things are gendered. So toilets are gendered. The way that people speak is very gendered. People that say boys and girls all the time, and men and women, or men do this thing and women do that thing. And I see it everywhere now. So I can see if someone doesn't actually fit into either of those, can kind of feel maybe a bit excluded.
Correct. Yeah. It's like everything is tailor-made to having to fit within the binary.
Yeah.
And as soon as you step away from that and start to acknowledge that there is more, you start to really see how limiting it can be when everything is defined within these two kind of standards that a majority of the general population does fit within. And it's the thing, because the majority of the population is defined within the binary and is usually straight, like, it's a large part of the population. Because of that, anything other than that is seen as unusual or abnormal or not how it should be, because it's not the majority. So that gendered language really comes from the perceived norms of a large amount of the population.
So the belief that there is a binary is based on the belief that there is something wrong with people who don't fit in that binary.
Yes and no, like, wrong or unusual, different, it's other than, I think. But there are definitely people out there who believe it's wrong, who don't believe that there is anything other than male and female. So a lot of people who quite strongly believe that, because it's their perceived view of the world. And I can understand how it could be hard for someone who's always felt that everything within themselves fits to try and understand the fact that it could possibly be any other way.
Yeah, which is why it's so important that we are aware of the way that we speak and the way that we communicate, especially when we're communicating to groups of people, because we never know if there is someone in that group who doesn't identify within the binary, who doesn't identify with, say, you're speaking to a group of people who look like they're all men or look like they're all women, but maybe there is someone in there who isn't. And maybe the way that you're speaking is not being inclusive of them.
Absolutely. I mean, what does male and female actually look like? You know, just as the what defines female, long hair, makeup, technically, like, women's clothes, you know, which is, none of this is actually defining a person's gender. It's just, you know, how society has categorized people based on their outward appearance. And it's very inaccurate, because you can have someone who may look like the the most muscular, huge, burly, hairy man ever who actually identifies as a woman. And you wouldn't know.
So, Bowie, how do you identify?
I'm non-binary, so I don't feel like I fit within the binary spectrum of gender at all. I feel I never have. As old as I can remember, I never felt female. I was assigned female at birth, but I've never felt female. I rejected it for a very large part of my life, but I've also never wanted to be a boy. I don't feel that that's me. I definitely have some more masculine traits with my physique and stuff like that, but I've never wanted to fit within any of the kind of standards.
I love that. And so how, like when someone's talking about you, how would they refer to you as?
Yeah, so pronouns are a big thing that people don't think about. Pronouns are the label that a person gives himself that defines their gender. So he, him, she, her, they are gendered pronouns, and women will use she, her, and men will use he, him. I use they, them because I don't feel that he, him, or she, her fit me. So I prefer they, them because it's a gender neutral term that defines like who I am.
Yeah, right. And so I know that some people kind of have arguments against the term they, them because they say that it's grammatically incorrect and they say, well, it's for plural.
Oh, this is the worst argument ever.
So tell me, what would you say to someone who is saying that using they, them is not grammatically correct, that it's used for plurals?
That's not true. It's used really commonly and people don't actually think about it. And it was used well back in the times of William Shakespeare. He would often use they, them as a singular pronoun for a person. But let me give you a scenario that I'm sure you've used and I'm sure everyone else has used so many times and it's never actually clicked, right? So you find someone's wallet on the ground and you may pick it up and you don't know who owns it. Say there's no ID inside. You don't have any identifier at all for whose this is. You'll be like, oh, someone's dropped their wallet. Oh, I hope they realize. Maybe I'll put it here for them so that they can come back and get it. You have literally just used they, them as a singular pronoun a handful of times because you don't know the person.
So someone left their jacket. Correct. I wonder whose it is. I wonder if they'll be coming back to pick it up.
Yep. They, them as a singular.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about someone who is non-binary or uses the pronouns they, them, you can either say their name like so-and-so, like Bowie did this, or I can say they did this.
Correct. And it's even like a way to think about it is say that you know someone who is female, who identifies as female, doesn't mean that you have to use she, her on them all the time as well. Because what is the actual relevance? So this is a question to ask. Is it actually necessary for me to be gendering this person when I talk about them? What is the relevance of their gender in the conversation? If there's no need to she, her someone or he, him someone, why not they, them, them?
No, I guess it's just something that I was always taught.
It's ingrained. It's like it's in our language.
You look at them and you decide whether they are male or female by their looks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use the pronoun he or her because Correct. That's the only thing that we learnt to use.
Exactly. But how necessary and relevant is it in a conversation?
Oh, it's got nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Yet it's so commonly used as an easy reference point.
Totally.
When what happens when you start communicating with people who don't use these gendered pronouns is you have to actually think more about the person. Who are they? What does define them? What defines them that's not their gender? Because why do we need to define people based solely on their gender? Which is what we do. Everyone is categorized into male or female, and that's it. Your defining feature is that you're a woman, so therefore when I speak to you, I'm going to she, her, you, because that's your defining point. As opposed to, say, oh, you know, I went to Christina's wedding on the weekend. Oh, they threw a wonderful party. Christina and Aaron were both really happy. They really looked like they enjoyed themselves. You know, I didn't have to say she this or he that. I can use their names. I can talk about them collectively. I can talk about them singularly. I can do any number of things that doesn't require me to actually have to define that they are male and female.
Mm.
It's a bit clunky at first. Like, I understand it can take time to even, and it all starts with thinking. The easiest way to start using non-gendered pronouns and non-gendered language is to start thinking it in your head. The thing that that comes up for a lot of people, they say, oh, it's a habit. It's something I've just always done. This is how it is. It's like, that's not true. We are influenced and our language is influenced by our thinking. So when we are thinking about a person, let's say I'm thinking about Christina, if I didn't know any better, I would be thinking about Christina in my head as a woman, and I would be she-ing her, and, you know, I would be saying she, her, and all these things, and defining her as a woman. So then my language would reflect that. But I think about Christina in my head, and I think that Christina is an amazing human. They are so talented. They have, you know, the ability to teach other people and inspire other people. So when I think about Christina, I'm not thinking she and her. I'm thinking, you know, they do this or they do that. And when you start thinking about a person with that language, it's easy to talk about them with that language. Mm. If in your head you're thinking she and her, and then you try and they, them, them, it doesn't connect because your thinking is betraying what your inner world is saying about that person. And yeah. It's a conflict that comes up with being misgendered. So to be misgendered, this happens for me a lot, is I'm non-binary. And when I'm misgendered, I have people call me a girl. They call me she, her. So that's misgendering me. Because in their head, they think of me as female. And that misgendering gives away their thoughts. So you may have someone who may be a family member that struggles with gendering you correctly. And what this is actually indicating is their thoughts of you are telling you the truth about what's going on. They're not believing your identity. Because if they believe your identity, they won't think of you as a gender. They'll think of you as the way that you're asking to be thought of, which is as something beyond that.
Mm, I love that. So what you're saying is that when we can start to look at the people that we're talking to and see them more than just their gender and see them as people who are just human beings, and it doesn't matter what sex or gender they are, that they're just people just like everyone else, then we will start to get our heads around this idea of non-gendered language.
Correct.
And be able to communicate it easier instead of finding it really clunky at the beginning.
Absolutely. And that's not to say that you can never say she, her, or he, him. Like, that's a very, like, it's not taking it to that extreme. It's not excluding these words completely. But it's just about having a shift that unless you actually have confirmed with someone what their pronouns are, it's not really relevant to refer to them by a gendered pronoun or in a gendered language until they've confirmed with you how they want you to communicate to them. And I just think it's approaching each person as if you don't know without an assumption.
So tell me, Bo, just wondering, as your experience as a non-binary person, how does it feel? What's the difference in how you feel when you're being misgendered or you're being spoken to by someone who is speaking very genderedly and to someone who is gendering you correctly or speaking in non-gendered ways, non-gendered language? Mm. What's the difference for someone who is non-binary?
I used to get upset, and I know a lot of people in the community do get upset for being misgendered, but I can't expect everyone to know that I use they, them pronouns, because it's still, for people who aren't in the trans and gender diverse community, it's something they don't think about. For a lot of people, it's something they've never heard of. It's a totally new concept, so I can't assume that they should know and therefore treat them as though they've done something intentionally wrong when they don't know any better or any differently. So I've become very accepting. I educate a lot of people. I have these conversations a lot on how to be more open, more understanding, and just explaining experiences. But for a lot of people, it can be quite traumatic. It can be very invalidating, and can lead to like anxiety, depression. A lot of trans and gender diverse people actually have social isolation and experience a lot of social anxiety because going out and getting misgendered is something that they just can't face because they have such low self-esteem, or because of the way that society views trans and gender diverse people is already quite belittling. Like, people who are trans and gender diverse have something wrong with them. They're confused. They don't know any better. They shouldn't be allowed to self-identify. Like, all this negative talk that goes along. So they have a lot of anxiety anyway. And to have just multiple people over a day while they're out constantly misgendering them, it just wears down. And I used to get quite frustrated with it. I didn't take it to heart. More annoyance. But the more I've met people, the more I've talked, the more I understand that most people are not trying to be intentionally harmful. They just don't know any better. But when someone does use they, them on me, or I'm around people who are using just totally gender neutral language, I feel great. I feel happy. I feel proud of the person who's taken the time and the effort to gain awareness of the community and to be understanding. To me, it shows someone who's really open to more than just what they may be familiar with. And that excites me because it's not an easy thing. It's not easy to shift your thinking. It's not easy to think differently from what we've all been raised, learning, like from a really young age, like as young as you can remember, everything is gendered, right? Even babies' clothes. It's a lot. So for someone to take the effort and take the time to actually reshape their thinking, I have a lot of respect for.
That is so cool. Thank you so much for sharing that, Beau. And I just have one final question, and that is about making mistakes. So for someone that makes a mistake and misgenders someone, what should they do?
They should just correct themselves and move on. It's not a big deal. If the more of a I guess fuss you make over it, the more that it just seems to be about them and not the person that they misgendered. So you may misgender someone and feel really awkward about it and being like, oh, I'm sorry, like, and using correct pronouns. So say if someone was to call me she and then went, oh, I'm so sorry, I meant they. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And they're like, oh, no, I really didn't mean it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I feel so bad right now. Oh, I feel really silly. Oh, and I'm so much better at this and I didn't mean to do it. You know, it perpetuates. And it's like, well, now you're making it about you. Now you're not making it about an apology to me. You're making it all about how you feel. If someone was to misgender me and say I meant they, and then just kept on talking, I have full respect for that because you've realized your mistake, you've acknowledged it, but then you've moved on and you've kept it going because that's respecting me without making it about something bigger than it has to be.
It's taking the attention off it. It's not making a big deal of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I think don't be afraid of making mistakes because they happen. I misgender people. I when I first came out as non-binary, I misgendered myself. You know, these things happen. No one is perfect. People in the trans and gender diverse community, they make mistakes too. No one is exempt from that, no matter how much experience you have. I do it. And it's okay. It's okay to make mistakes. Like I explained, acknowledge, move on, show that respect, but just keep it going because it's not about you.
And how do we know what their pronouns are? Like, we can't just, if that's the case, and there are, you know, transgender and gender diverse people walking around us and we meet them, how are we going to know what their pronouns are?
Well, I guess when you introduce yourself to people, you can share your pronouns. So I do it when I introduce myself. I know you do it also when you introduce yourself. I say, hey, I'm Bowie. I use they, them pronouns. And some people understand. And then when they introduce themselves, they use their pronouns. And some people look at me like they have no idea what I'm talking about. And I've never heard of what pronouns are. And, you know, because we're not raised to even think about that when we meet someone, we're raised to automatically make an assumption based off appearance. So I always share my pronouns. And for people who have some experience in the community, they'll often share theirs and they get it. And yeah, it kind of helps people to know. I also wear a little they, them badge often as well. Yeah, but it doesn't hurt. It never hurts to just share your pronouns. It can feel weird at first.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Bo.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this has all been like so interesting. I know that our listeners are going to get so much from this because, you know, we never know if there's going to be someone who's trans or gender diverse in our spaces, in our work, where we go, where we hang out. And just knowing how to speak not using non-gendered language and some in a way that's respectful and validating of their identity is going to, you know, help us to be able to communicate with more people, you know, in the world. Yeah, yeah, and gain that respect as well.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be daunting either. It can be really quite fun. Like, I like to give myself the challenge of addressing groups or people in as many different non-gendered ways as I can.
Can you give us some examples?
Yeah. So I like to use Mahatis. I'm a bit of a pirate fan. I use friends, pals. You know,
so, greetings, earthlings.
Oh, you can totally do that.
Human beings.
I like, hey, friends, how's it going? Hey, yeah. Pals.
Buddies.
Buddies, yeah.
Workmates.
Gang. Hey, team.
Bookworms.
Yeah.
Studiers, podcasters, rock stars. I know Christina uses rock stars all the time.
Yeah. So, make it fun. This doesn't have to be serious. I think that's one thing to take away. This is not super serious and doesn't have to be really, really serious. And this is so important. You have to get it right every time. And it's, stressful. It's like, no, just relax. Think of something inventive and just test it out. You might get interesting looks. I know I do. But, you know, adds to the fun.
Yeah. So, that's amazing. Bo, can you please tell me if any one of our listeners are interested in learning more about this, about transgender, gender diverse, how to speak, how to be more of an ally to the community and to learn more, where can they go to find that information or to get in touch with you?
There's a lot of content on Google. There's a lot of content on Google.
Google knows all.
Google knows all. Seriously, looking up anything like how to use gender neutral language and stuff like that, you're going to find a heap of stuff there. There's lots of YouTube videos of trans and gender diverse people talking, sharing their stories. If you want to start to understand how people's lived experiences are, YouTube. It's got people who like sharing their transitions. Like these are some of the bravest people I've seen. They share their journeys, their surgeries, their progress on hormones, like all this incredible stuff and how life is for them. It's a really interesting one. If you want to get in contact with me, you can either look up our website, fearlessmovementco.com, or you can email me at bowie@fearlessmovement.co. They were really hard to remember. my own details. You think I would know that a little bit easier, but no.
And can you say what fearlessmovement.co is?
So Fearless Movement Collective is our business name. We also call ourselves Fearless Movement Co. or FMC. We do online fitness, nutrition, and mindset coaching for the LGBTQIA+ community. and we specialize in supporting trans and gender diverse people who are looking to transition holistically, which is to connect heart, mind, and body together to live their true identities and have a fulfilling life.
That is so cool. I love it. I love what we do. It's so rad. So
you're supposed to say that.
Anyway, thank you so much, Bo, for being on this podcast today. I just want to give a quick recap over some of the things that we talked about. So we talked about using non-gendered language when talking to groups. So we can say, instead of saying, hey guys, hey fellas, hey men, hey boys, hey girls, we can say things like, hey people, hey humans, hey wonderful friends, all of those kinds of things. When introducing yourself to people, you can introduce your pronouns or say what your pronouns are. And so that gives someone else a way for them to tell us their pronouns so that then we know what their pronouns are. And then when we're talking about someone who uses they-them pronouns, that we can change our mindset so that we actually see people as just people instead of seeing them as men and women, so that we can kind of start to take that genderizing, is that a word?
Gendering. If you use it in a sentence, it's a word.
Gendering away from our mindsets and our languages, and just to see us all as human beings, as equals, as people that are ultimately the same. So next time that you're standing up to do a talk or a presentation, or you're just networking with people, see if you can start changing your mindset and just seeing the room and the people that are in the room as just people and not seeing them as their gender. And when you're referring to people, to just practice and see how it feels like to start using they, them in non-gendered language.
Just remember, make it lighthearted. Like, don't put too much stock in it. If you mess it up, you know what? You mess it up, try again next time. The one thing to do is just keep trying. The more times you do it, the easier it gets.
Thank you so much, Bo. It's been a fantastic podcast. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and I'm sure our listeners have too. And that is it for this week. And it's going to be amazing. And I'm sure Christine is having a wonderful trip wherever she is. And they are.
Where are they even going? Who knows?
Where are they
going? They're going away.
Yeah, they're going away. They're going to have fun. Thank you so much for listening. Take care and all the best.
Bye.